Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey everyone, this is Britt Lightning from Vixen, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey folks, it's Mark Striegel with Talking Metal. And before we get into today's episode with Britt Lightning, we are going to thank the patrons. These are the people that support me on Patreon. Some of them $2 a month, some of them much, much higher than that. There's different tiers you can get into, different benefits you get within those tiers. You get a bonus podcast every week for $2 a month. You can do $5 a month. You'll get that bonus podcast, an additional bonus podcast, and a Talking Metal t-shirt. Sometimes I throw up videos and stuff too. When I get to 100 patrons, I will do a bi-weekly, highly produced video show for the people on Patreon, and then it'll, after the fact, go public. So that's what we're going for, guys. 100 patrons. We're at 50 right now. So it's a good start, but we need more. So we're going to thank each and every one of these people right now. If you don't want to hear their names, fast forward. Our newest patron is Kaidio Yogava. And I'm probably saying that wrong. He is our latest person to join us on Patreon. So big, big shout out to you. Please let me know how to pronounce your name. K-A-I-D-O, last name, J-O-G-E-V-A, Yogava, possibly, I don't know. Adrian Cusick, Dane Damage, love that rock star name. Madison Hatter, another rock star name. Seth B., Alan Janssen, Hank Reeves from Dash Vodka, that's right, that Hank Reeves. John Simpson, Huckney Jacobson, John Barron, Ed Ferguson, Denny Striegel, Patrick Sabin, Jerry from Salt Lake City, Blue Walsh 21, Victor Guzman, Glenn Watson, Joey Van Cherry, Gene Eugene DX, Sean Richmond, Mario Charance, Andrew Miller, Jeremy Weltman, Chris Riley, Johan Erdestrom, Steven Rodriguez, Tommy Anderson, Gregory Muse, Kenny McCrimmon, Leo from Alaska, Brad Dahl, Dan Gerwan, Jerry from Long Island, Sam Soupy, excuse me, Drake, Matt Carroll, Joe Ryan, Jason Seth, Stephen Saylor, Ron Keel, Jean-Francois Blah, Anthony Mackey, Jason Bennett, David Gray, Fred Roots, Michael Street, Mike Jones, Steve Hoker, John Bouvari. Wow, we got a lot of people. And Metal Dan. Thank you, people. And did I say we're at 50? We're at 51 now. Hell yeah. There we go. 51. One closer. 49 to go. And that's when I give you the bi-weekly, highly produced video show. Can't wait for that. All right. Let's get into the episode with a great guitar player. Her name is Britt Lightning. Guys, thanks for joining us. I do want to say that things are crazy behind the scenes. I have a few interviews on my hard drive here. I don't have time to get them all up. I did just give you an episode over the weekend with Corey Glover and Bobby Blitz. Corey Glover of Living Color and like 10 other projects, and Bobby Blitz, of course, of Overkill. So if you haven't heard those, check those out. And today, yeah, we're going to just stick with one interview. It is a good one, though. It's Britt Lightning. Spoke with her a couple years back at M3 with the whole band. Now we get to break it down in a solo interview with her. And I love this interview. There's a lot of great stuff to hear in this. So definitely check it out and follow her on social media and let her know you heard the interview here on Talking Metal. Britt Lightning of Vixen coming up in just a minute. I wanted to say, hey, you guys are the listeners. You guys are the reason I do this show. It's the platform that I love having, and I've been doing it since 2005, but I'm always looking to change things up and make things better, hear what you guys want. I can't play music anymore. Somebody recently reamed me because I don't play music anymore, because the show will get thrown off of iHeart and Spotify. We already were thrown off of Spotify, and it took a lot of effort and even some money on my end to get us back on that platform, which has now become a big place for podcasts. So we are available just about everywhere. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. But I don't want to, if that's your comment, play music, you can keep that comment to yourself. Anything else, I'm looking for feedback, seriously. I want feedback from you guys, not just now, whenever, on a regular basis. Please feel free to tweet me at Talking Metal. You can DM me there. You can even send me an email, mark@talkingmetal.com. I want to hear your feedback about this show. We will be getting back to in-person interviews. We've kind of already took a step in that direction with Jordan Rudis of Dream Theater recently, and I can't wait for more in-person stuff coming up. Big notice here, I do these every single Tuesday. Sometimes we do them more than Tuesdays. Like I said, I just gave you an episode over the weekend, but there will be a whole week where I have to take off. It's the Father's Day weekend, like, which is like June 18th or 19th. I'm moving that weekend, and I'm not going to be able to get an episode up that Tuesday, which would be, let me look at the calendar, Tuesday the 22nd, actually, my mom's birthday. Yeah, there will be no episode of Talking Metal that week, and I apologize for that. It's rare that I don't get one up on a Tuesday, but there will be no Talking Metal episode that week. I do still hope to get the bonus Patreon-only podcast up with Victor Ruiz, but we'll see. Also, there's an episode of Talking Rock going up. If you don't subscribe to that, check it out on CNJRadio.com with Joey Haney. Always great talking with Joey. So a lot of content going out from me, and I love bringing you guys the content, and I want to hear what you think of it. Good, bad, feedback is welcome. mark@talkingmetal.com, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. You can DM me or make it public if you want. If it's really nasty, maybe keep it private. But there you go. Let's get ready for an interview with Britt Lightning. But first, let's just mention that David Lee Roth has a new song out, Giddy Up. I listened to it a couple times, man. I like it. You know, it's not like a ice pick in the forehead hard rocker, but there's something really melancholy about it. And there was that other song, The Rainbow, Over the Rainbow Bar and Grill or something, that he released a while back, a few months back, maybe even longer than that. And it, you know, emotionally took me to a similar place. I don't know. I feel like Dave is now looking at things in hindsight, but still trying to be optimistic about the future. That's the vibe I've gotten from these. Like, it's almost like he keeps telling himself there's more to go here, there's more to do here. It's interesting, but I really like the song. I really do. He does one of his classic, you know, breakdown kind of raps, if you will, you know, not raps, but spoken word thing. Really fun listen. Other headlines, Lee Aaron, speaking of Vixen, we got Britt Lightning on the show, right? Lee Aaron, who we've interviewed numerous times, she, including an in-person one up in Canada, she has said that she turned down the chance to front Vixen in the 90s. Wow. Interesting. And you could read about that up on Blabbermouth. Cheap Trick, the bassist, Tom from Cheap Trick, the bassist, is doing a lot better after his open heart surgery 3 months ago. Good to hear. We hope he recovers or has recovered fully. Trivium's Matt Heffy, I guess is his name, right, is getting his entire body tattooed. I like tattoos, and I actually have some of myself, but I'm not into the whole getting your entire body tattooed. It's kind of wacky to me. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think less is more sometimes. Jeff Tate back out on the road performing Queensryche's Rage for Order and Empire albums in their entirety. I believe it's this fall he swings around the Northeast here, and I cannot wait, man. Rage for Order, my favorite Queensryche album, and that says a lot because I love so many of their albums. Man, The Warning, Operation Mindcrime, wow, so much great stuff. And the classic extreme black metal band, a lot of people consider them to be the inventors of black metal. Other people say it's Venom. But Bathory was inducted into the Swedish Music Hall of Fame. That's right. All right. So let's do this with Brit Lightning here on Talking Metal.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel from Talking Metal, and we are talking with Brit Lightning. The last time we spoke, Brit, I think it was 2019, M3. Does that sound right? Or was it 18?
I think 19 was the last one we did. So I think it might have been that one.
Yeah, which was a great show. Was that one of your first shows with Lorraine?
No, actually, our first show with Lorraine was when Janet had a health issue and we needed a fill in for a show. And I want to say it was in Oklahoma, maybe.
Okay.
And it was totally random. And we were like, what are we going to do? We couldn't cancel. And so we had Lorraine pop in. And so little did we know that was going to be a good warm-up gig for her.
Right on. And I do want to talk a little bit more about Vixen in just a bit. But you've been staying busy, at least from where I'm sitting. It looks like you've been staying busy during this whole COVID lockdown quarantine thing with masterclasses and Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp. Can you talk a little bit about what you've been doing with them?
Yeah, absolutely. So when COVID started, I was, talking with David Fischoff, and we were like, how can we, put this online? He had been wanting to do things online for a while now. And it, with COVID, of course, seemed like the absolute perfect time. So we started reaching out to artists and seeing if they'd be interested and just sharing their expertise and their, techniques and everything, advice, personalized advice, everything, just talking to people over Zoom. And it was kind of like the actual masterclasses that we do at the in-person camps, where everybody gets in a room and you kind of just, hear these people just share their wisdom and experiences. And then you can also talk and ask them questions too. And we did over 160, we did close to 200, really.
It was wow.
Probably done at least 180, really. But masterclasses, since we started in June, June 1st was our first one. We had Mark Farner as our first artist come on.
Nice. And Grand Funk Railroad.
That's it. Yeah.
And ex-Grand Funk, I should say, right? Yeah.
And they went really, it was awesome. And we were like, this is amazing. We started doing them nightly. On the weekends, we were doing them like four classes in one day, all over Zoom. And everybody, it was cool to see everybody in their, COVID habitat, with, wherever they were in their studio or on their living room couch, whatever. We got some big artists. We had Roger Daltrey a few times. We had Alice Cooper. We had Styx. We had Joe Elliott. We had amazing guitar players like Steve Howe, Steve Stevens.
Wow.
Steve's.
big name people.
Yeah. We had Steve Gadd. A lot of people are named Steve.
Yeah.
It was really amazing. And honestly, it got me through COVID, because it was like every night after each class, David and I would call each other and be like, oh my God, that was amazing. We'd be like, I know, I'm so inspired. I'm so motivated. I mean, it was awesome. It was
so really- in these classes, you're there with the people you mentioned, and you're kind of like, almost like kind of hosting or navigating the discussion with the people that are in the class. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, exactly. And everybody, we keep people muted so people don't interrupt each other. And so, just kind of moderating the questions and answers and making sure, like when somebody's playing, you can hear them and things like that.
And so coming up with Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, you're going to be the musical director for upcoming camps. This is, was recently announced, I believe. And these are in person, at least I'm asking, are they?
Yes. Yes, they are. But we will still continue to do the master classes. And since they went so well, what we're going to do is have those with the rock star counselors and mentors to kind of help ease into camp. So you can do master, like you can learn how to play, you know, what, whoever the guest artist is, Dave Megadeth songs with, you know, learn the bass parts for the Megadeth songs with Tony Franklin before you get to camp. So there's a lot of like, there's a lot of fear for some people before coming to camp. And so this helps to, that we think that this will help like eliminate the fear factor. Like a lot of people are like, wow, jamming with Jeff Beck would be awesome. But like, there's no way in hell you could pay me to do that. I'm not going to be that guy. Right. Stuck in front of Jeff Beck, you know? So, but it's not about that. It's like, it's just an amazing experience overall. And there's really no judgment. So I think the master classes will help with that, but yes, I will be the musical director for the upcoming camps. You know, putting the bands together, getting counselors, you know, coordinating the music and the jams and all that. So they're 4-day events and they happen. We're planning, we've got a few coming up in Florida. We've got one in Vegas. We've got one in LA. We're talking about maybe Nashville, Austin. So we've got some, a lot of good stuff in the works. I'm really
awesome.
Excited.
It sounds very exciting. And if somebody were interested in attending one of the camps, is there a website or how do they go about signing up for it?
Yes. Rockcamp.com. And, we will be announcing, like I said, a couple more camps or at least one more camp by the end of the week, if not two. And right now there's one on sale. Yeah. Featuring Dave Mustaine, Nico McBrain, Richie Faulkner, and, Steve Morse in Hollywood, Florida.
Wow. That's amazing. What an amazing lineup of mentors and teachers. Can you be any level of a guitar player or do you need to be a certain, have skill of a certain, you know, intermediate level or something, or can you be a total beginner or what, how does it work, your level?
Yeah, you can be any level. And then it would be my job to make sure you get placed in the right band according to your skill level so that, you know, everybody's on the same level in your band and you can all work together and grow together. There's some people that have never been in a band in their whole lives and they've just always wanted to. And yeah, like, wow. You know, so, and then there's people that are in awesome cover bands. They play out all the time or, you know, so we definitely have all extremes and it's all ages too. I mean, we have some kids come and, sometimes they even come with their parents, but then we've got, you know, people like 60, you know, so there's a good range there.
Wow. Very, very cool. And we will link that through the show notes, guys, on talkingmetal.com. And for this episode, we will have that in the show notes linked. And let's talk about Vixen. I know there was a live record a number of years ago, which I think had a couple studio new songs on it, right? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. We had one new rock single and then one acoustic version of Edge of a Broken Heart.
But we've heard that there is new music being worked on. And where are you guys or your girls at with that?
Well, it's going a little bit slower than we had anticipated. I mean, before COVID, we had a bunch of writing sessions in person scheduled where we'd all just get together and hang out and work on stuff. And we all live in different states across the country, actually, on completely like from LA to, you know, Michigan to Florida, to, you know, wherever. Very spread out. So it's not easy to travel. And honestly, nobody is super jazzed about sending tracks back and forth, trying to record it separately and everything like that. So we got a little bit slowed down, but we got some great ideas. We're going to be seeing each other in a couple of weeks. So really looking forward to getting back on track and just finishing the writing so we can get in the studio and bang this thing out. I'm very anxious to have it done. I know we've been talking about it for a while.
Right on. And musically, where do you think it's going? Is it going in the traditional Vixen sound, or do you imagine that it will be updated or going someplace else musically?
Definitely, it will be traditional Vixen. I mean, when you hear it, I think you're going to know it's Vixen. We're going to keep with the big 3-part harmonies, the big catchy choruses, cool rock and riffs and solos and you know, that thumping bass and of course, Roxy's awesome sound. And so, you know, I think it'll be a slightly modern twist, maybe, you know, I think maybe I bring that a little bit, but I've been so influenced by Vixen and other, you know, bands from the era that I think it's right. Going to be pretty consistent. And we want that. We don't want fans to be like, what the heck is this? This isn't the band that I love. So, but I think it's going to be a good mix.
Very cool. And how did you end up in Vixen, and how long have you been with Vixen at this point?
Yeah, I joined in 2017, so I guess 4 years. Yeah. And no, you know what? I had moved to LA from Boston, and I had just ended a tour with a Latin artist, and it was just kind of like, okay, I'm ready to relocate here. I'm over the winters in Boston and all the snow. And so I came out and I ended up playing around town in a tribute band. And then we were playing a show at one of the local spots in Hollywood. I think it was Lucky Strike Live. And Vixen's manager was there, and I think was thinking like, wow, she'd be great in Vixen. And at the time they were looking for a new guitar player, but it wasn't really that well known. And so I think a few other people had recommended me too at the same time. So it just seemed to be something that they were considering, and they called me up and I flew down to Florida, and I actually auditioned right after the Monsters of Rock cruise. And I auditioned actually with Tyson Leslie, who's on keys with us.
Right. Yep.
We both were auditioning that day, and we both got the gig. Woo!
Awesome. Now, you mentioned a Latino artist that you'd been touring with. Now, I know, can you tell us who that was? And I know you had, that was pretty high profile, right? There were like TV appearances and stuff with that gig.
Yeah, that was Alejandro Sanz. He's totally amazing. His band is incredible. And I toured with him from 2012 to 2015. And we did like a whole big world tour. It was my dream gig. It was the first time I was like, okay, I feel like my dreams have been realized. I mean, you always have accomplishments along the way in your journey that make you feel like, I guess I'm on the right track, or, I'm almost there. Things are sort of working. But that was like, oh, I'm playing a stadium, I'm playing a sold out, football or soccer arena in South America. And this is just amazing. Like, I had chills every night. It was awesome. And I learned so much, just different cultures. I mean, half the band, a couple members of the band barely even spoke English. So, got to learn Spanish. Wow. And, all the different, traditions of being over in Spain and South America and stuff for so long. So it was definitely one of my life highlights, I would say.
Right on. And was that, I know you were on Kelly and Michael twice, right? Was it two times you got to appear on that show? And was that what you were on that show with?
No, that was different. That was with some top 40 artists. So I did that with Jason Derulo and with who had that song Fight Song. And yeah, those were just some separate like radio TV promo gigs.
Oh, okay. Cool. And I don't know if it was your first band, but your band from Boston, Jaded, right? I was listening to some of it on Apple Music today. It sounded great. What happened with Jaded? And you did a tour with Wasp. Is that correct?
We did. We went overseas. We did a few England, Ireland, Spain, I forget what else, but yeah. I started that band, when I was maybe senior in high school, like right when I was getting out of high school. I think I met this drummer, this female drummer. She was super awesome. And she had a trio, an all-female trio that had just broken up. And, we kind of combined forces and, just wanted to have the most awesome metal all-female rock band. We started Jaded, and it was great. At first, my younger sister was in the band too, because we couldn't find a good female bass player. And I used to jam with my sister. She was a drummer, great drummer. She still is. But I was like, you know what? Cause she wanted to be in the band. I was like, yeah, but you have to play drums. I mean, sorry.
Right, yeah. Right. Bass. Right.
Drums are taken. So she was in the band for a while. Then it really didn't turn out to be her thing. She was more scholastic and wanted to focus on school. And then we got a great bass player. And then our singers, we kind of went through singers. I always found that was the most difficult thing to keep. I mean, and it's tough too. And there was jealous husbands or boyfriends. And it was a little challenging. So that is kind of, I think, what ultimately made me take a break from that, because I was just, sick of trying to keep things consistent and replacing somebody over and over again.
Right on.
It, was a blast though. We had so much fun. We played all over, and that tour with Wasp was really fun. And then, I mean, I think I did that for about 10 years or so, all through college. We were playing like 4 or 5 nights a week all the time. So it was, it kept me really busy. We had problems with the singer the last time, I was like, you know what? I don't think I can do this anymore. It's driving me nuts. I feel like I have to keep starting from scratch. And my friend said, you know, you should just audition to be a gun for hire. And just, all you have to do is you show up and you play guitar and you don't have to worry about booking your band. I'm doing right. this, doing everything. And I was like, well, that sounds good. That sounds
right. Good. Right on. Now you mentioned college. Now I read in one place, I read that you went to Northeastern, and I thought somewhere else I read Berklee College of Music. Was it both?
I went to Northeastern. I really okay. wanted to go to Berklee growing up in Boston. And my parents were like, yeah, no. I was always jamming with older kids and that had already graduated from Berklee or were going there. And, you know, like as soon as they graduated, it was like, they didn't have some big touring gig. They were like working at Starbucks, like figuring right. out, which is okay. But my parents saw that and they were like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think Jimi Hendrix went to Berklee. So, and he made it and your friend that graduated Berklee didn't. So, you know what? I think if you're going to make it, you'll just figure out how to make it on your own. And if, you know, we want our support with school and everything, you know, I think you should go for a backup plan. So I ended up studying music business at Northeastern, but I the whole time I was there, I worked across the street from Berklee at Daddy's Junkie Music, the music okay. store. So I ended up meeting a lot of kids from Berklee and, you know, jamming with them, getting their class notes and blah, blah, blah. But then afterwards, I did take a few courses at Berklee, like years later.
Right. Okay. I went there for a year. It was a great year, but yeah. Good experience.
yeah. So yeah. And then when I ended up finding my first audition after I decided to like quit, call the band quits for the time being, I auditioned for Lady Gaga, and that's how I got the Alejandro gig.
Okay.
I was very close to getting the Gaga gig, very, very close. Rehearsed with her for quite a few days, and then was really bummed at the last day I didn't get it. The other guy got it, and then I, you know, had one of those other moments like, am I doing the right thing? But you never know who's watching, you never know anything. And so, yeah, a few months later, I got the call for Alejandro and was able to audition. And that's how that happened. And that was amazing. And that I forgot to mention that we did a lot of TV and stuff too. We had a lot of like Univision specials. We recorded a live CD DVD in Spain. And we also we played on like the Latin Grammys and stuff. So we had a lot of great exposure on that one too.
But it sounds like you did more than audition, because you were with Lady Gaga, you said, for numerous rehearsals, or how long?
You know, open call, and then you get the call back. And the next day I got the call back. And the next day I got the call back. And the callbacks went for like 6 days. And what was crazy was I had a gig coming up at the Wolf Den, actually, in Mohegan Sun, with a tribute band. And I never expected I'd be in New York at this audition this long. I thought it was gonna be a 1 day thing. And it was crazy because I got to the gig. I'll just say, I feel bad about it, but I couldn't pass up. I had come so far in the audition process. I was like right there. But anyways, I made it to the Wolf Den just in time. My parents were so cool. They came and picked me up in New York and drove me to the gig in Connecticut.
Wow.
No bus. I couldn't make it any other way at that time. Yeah. Wow. Good time.
And but your parents, it sounds like, was it a musical family? Were they supportive? Because no.
Well, supportive, yes. Musical family, definitely not. No.
Okay.
But I just got into music on my own, you know, no real older friends or brothers or sisters to get me into it. My parents really didn't listen to too much music, honestly. And, but they were so supportive. I mean, when we started Jaded, especially when my younger sister was in the band, they wanted to make sure they're at every single gig.
Right. Yeah.
Looking over us. I mean, we definitely were the kids in the bars with the X's on the hands. And, you know, I was always trying to sneak drinks, but my sister was very, she always played by the rules, but they did have to watch me. They were right about that, but it turned out to be awesome. My dad would always, you know, be the roadie and help carry my cabs on stage. And, my mom sold the merch. So it was like a family affair. It was fun.
Right on. And before I let you go, I do want to talk gear. I see some guitars behind you there. Can you talk about some of your main guitars, what amps you prefer to use, and just the gear in general?
Yes. Well, the ones behind me here are some Gibsons. I love Gibson Les Pauls, and I've got this awesome Epiphone SG too. Oh, wow. I didn't notice that crack in there before. Wow. I guess I did something to it. Those are my favorite Gibsons and Epiphones. And this one here, you know, with Vixen, sometimes, you know, you definitely like to use the whammy bar and do right. some stuff. So this was modded after the fact, but this is super cool. I really like playing this guitar. Let's see, I have a couple Carlino guitars, which are super cool. He's a great guitar manufacturer out of Massachusetts, where I'm from. And what else do I have? And I always have loved from when I first started Jackson guitars. And I have a few Jackson Randy Rhodes Flying V models that are just awesome. So that's mainly what I play for guitars. I have Strats and Charvels too, but for this gig, it's either, you know, it's usually the Les Paul and SG, the Carlino or a Jackson. I love Hughes and Kettner heads. I've been going around, we do mostly fly dates. So I have this Grandmeister 40. It's a little 40 watt one. It just slips under the seat in front of you, you know, on the plane, and it's awesome. But other than that, if I can't bring it for some reason, usually it's hard to get Hughes and Kettner backline, but when we have backline, you know, usually just go for the Marshall stack. So,
right now we've seen a lot of bands nowadays, not even using amps on stage, just dialing in presets with Kempers and stuff like that. What's your feeling on that?
I don't like that. I don't know. I'm not even a super, super gearhead, but I feel like I can hear it all the time. I mean, I'll know right away that somebody's not playing through a real amp. I love tubes. I can hear tubes. So I've always, my whole life, played through tube heads. And this little one, this little Hughes and Kettner, is awesome. It's got tubes and it cranks. And I don't know. It's like the spatial, it's like you can hear the space and the air moving through the, I don't know, but I can tell, and it bugs me. I hate playing through any, you know, digital amp like that. And it ruins my vibe, and I just can't get into it. I'm kind of that way. I know there's a lot of great digital pedals, boards and stuff like that too, but I'm kind of analog all the way. I need a stomp box with the dial. Like if I have to get into doing computer programs on stage and, you know, dialing it, you know, it's too much. It's
yeah.
Takes the fun out of it for me. I just want to plug in and know what's going on and not have to, you know, do math and, you know, if something goes wrong on stage, you know, and you've got this computer, it's, I don't know, that stresses me out, unless you have a great big tech crew and backup and all that. But
right on. So we know all the rock and roll fantasy stuff, fantasy camp stuff is going to be happening, but is there time for a Vixen tour, or will it just be like fly-in dates later this year and going into 2022?
So for right now, we just have fly-in dates, and I think everybody's kind of being cautious. We don't have a full-on run. And 2 weeks from now, we've got a show coming up in Arkansas with Kix, and we've got another one coming up, I think, with Slaughter and Autograph in Fort Myers, Florida. We've got a handful in July and a handful for the rest of the year sprinkled in, just couple weekend fly dates for now. And I think that'll be a good testing of the waters to see everybody's comfort level and see how things go.
Right on.
But I hope to do a tour soon, and I really hope to return overseas and do all the festivals again and M3 again, because that's always
M3 is always great. We would love to have Vixen there again, hopefully in maybe 2022. And last question, I read that you like to ski. Where's your favorite place to go skiing?
This year, my favorite was Vail. I had never been there before, and that was awesome. I really love Deer Valley.
I love Deer Valley too. There's no snowboarders there. That's
so that has to that takes a take. I mean, that's just awesome. Yeah, nobody likes this.
No offense to our snowboarder listeners, but yeah, they, for whatever reason, Deer Valley is just skiing.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you skied. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Great. Well, Britt, thank you so much, and we hope to see you out in the road soon. It's been a long year without our rock and rolls. Hopefully, we'll have you and Vixen out there doing it again soon for us here in the New York and New Jersey area.
Definitely. Can't wait. Look forward to it. Oh, we do have a gig in Jersey coming up at the Landis Theater.
Oh, okay. That's, I'm trying to think, where that is that Red Bank? Where? Yeah, I'll have to look up where that is. I think it's like kind of South Jersey, but sounds good. Hopefully we'll be there.
Okay, well, thanks so much for having me. This was fun. Great to see you again.
Big thanks to Britt Lightning for joining me here on Talking Metal. She's been a friend of the show for a while. Like I said, we interviewed her at M3 a number of years, and I think hung out at the bar a little bit. Emily and I hung out with her at the bar later that evening back at M3, back in, I guess that was 2019, I think. Yeah, that's got to be it, because Emily didn't go. I think 2018 was the year Emily missed M3, and I went by myself, which I hate. I love to do everything with Emily. It's like my, I don't know, I just feel weird when I'm like out at shows and stuff without her. Love having Emily with me always. And you can check her out. Man, she got it, this cool like choker collar thing this weekend. I'm gonna put it up on Facebook. It's so freaking cool. You gotta see it. Turquoise, I guess. And that'll do it. Definitely, if you can support me, I'd love to send you out a Talking Metal t-shirt. Love to send you one. Got all sizes, even for you big guys. I know a lot of our listeners are big fellas, and we got the double X, the triple X, you know, we got all those, you know, double XLs and all that stuff. So let me know. The Talking Metal masks we are sold out of, and hopefully we will never have to wear those again. I've been fully vaccinated for a while. Walked through the grocery store without a mask, walked through the mall without a mask the other day up here in New Jersey, and it felt really good. I hope you guys are doing the right thing and getting vaccinated too. And I'll leave you with this thought. This is just something I've been trying to do, you know, before you go negative, before you do something to a friend or a family member, ask yourself, and I'm doing this and it's working somewhat. I still got a ways to go, man. I'm messed up, but ask yourself, is what you're currently doing useful? Whatever you are currently talking to somebody about, arguing with them about, or even in your own mind just worrying about, ask yourself, is it useful? And if you say no, I realize it's still hard to walk away from that thought, but it's a first step in doing that, you know? Because let's face it, it's been a weird freaking 15, 16 months here, right? And I know we're all kind of dealing with our own stuff, but I found that really helpful. Ask yourself, is this useful? Whatever you're currently doing, arguing about, worrying about, is it useful? Thanks, guys. Talk to you next time.